And it's amazing, absolutely amazing what can be done in prayer. Just looking at the examples, just looking at all those biblical examples, looking at Jesus, looking at the early church in the book of Acts, let alone the promises concerning nothing's impossible. And don't forget Ephesians 3:20 and 21. God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or imagine. Now, think in terms of what you've learned by your observation of others. This is the Prayer Manual audio, page 7 in that workbook, that journal that you've got, that prayer manual that you have. And this is point number 3, becoming fierce and join millions. Now, down the road, you will see off of our sites how to connect with millions and the goal to influence at least 10 million worldwide. Now, the idea there is influencing and encouraging, but it comes down to all of us. What do we believe? What do we believe about Scripture? What do we believe about what it says can be done? And what are we willing to do ourselves? Now, that involves a lot. One would be, again, digging in the Word and yieldedness to Jesus. The Spirit of God, you know, you're filled and guided and directed by the Spirit of God. You're before the throne of God. Now, I'm going to always press you on the issue of advancing the kingdom, advancing the mission of Jesus. If there's anything that, you know, that God wants done, I really believe that's it. That's primary in all that we're doing. And that's why as we gather on Sundays, we should have been seeing 20, 30 minutes of massive intercession. And mainly for the lost, you remember Timothy chapter 2, to pray that way, to see the instruction. Now, we can look at examples. We can look at promises that are incredible, but also instructions laid out for the body of Christ. We are to be the house of prayer. We are to be the, you know, prayer warriors. We are, listen, as a believer, the Spirit of God in us, we're, you know, we are the people of prayer, really. As we become strong in the Word, strong in the power of the Spirit of God, we become strong in our asking and receiving, seeking and finding, knocking and the doors being opened. Now, point 3 on page 7 in that workbook, becoming fierce. Now, I'm going to say this. You are in Christ. All those promises, all those things that God gives us already is part of what we are all about and part of what we do. We are in Him. We have every promise given to us. We have the instruction. This is who I am. I'm a believer. I'm part of a mission. I'm here to, yes, seek the things I need in my life, my family, pray individually. I could pray for somebody in a grocery store, at work, on the streets, but also joining in that plotted and planned and committed time, individually, teams, but the entire church in advancing the cause of Christ. Pray His will be done, His kingdom come on earth. And it's actually in the pluperfect in the Greek. It means this, as it's already been done, as it's already being accomplished. It's been accomplished in a sense. The idea that God's already decided, God has made the decision of what it's all about and what His will is and the advance of His kingdom. We're not here to decide that. We're here to help implement that. And I believe that that involves, number one, the major advancement, just like the example of Acts chapter 4. Then they're just simply praying. They raise their voices together to God. They pray that He stretch out His hands to heal individuals, to show signs and wonders to glorify the Lord Jesus. Now, if you look at Timothy 2, if you look at the overall picture of the mission, prayers for the advance of the cause of Christ, prayers for lost souls, prayers for those that need to be saved, prayers for the power of God. As you'll look through the rest of this, I've broken it down into the specifics, I believe, that are involved in that. I mean, if you got 20 million believers, but no one's praying about lost souls, no one's praying for the power of God all over the church, no one's praying for the protection of and the maturity of the body of Christ, nobody's praying for laborers to come, well, again, we have not because we don't ask. And that's the fault of us. And I believe that heaven is bursting with his presence and power and working. And I'll say it again, the most powerful supernatural body on the planet is the body of Christ, and then us individually also. As, the example even of Philip in Acts chapter 8, the example of believers as you read prayer, you can read Ian Bounds, you can read Andrew Murray, you can read a lot of well-known revivalists and Jonathan Edwards and the revivals there and Whitfield and Wesley's and on, you can read them all. And you can see the examples. Now, I could talk about the answers to prayer, direct answers to prayer, and that's part of the history of praying. From the very moment when I got saved, that first few weeks hearing about prayer and putting prayers up and seeing an astounding answer. Now, if you're listening to this now, by this time, you're going to also see listed on the website that's with that prayer manual. As you go down that, you're going to also see the a book called Becoming the Powerhouse That God Intended You to Be. Now, when that's out, you'll want to get a hold of that, and that's incorporated in probably everything I do and everything I say, because I happen to believe that God's intent was a church that the gates of hell could not prevail against. An aggressive church, power-filled, advancing the cause of God, God backing it, and Mark 16:20, Jesus in our midst as we're doing it. So gathered on Sundays, gathered in the middle of the week, and I recommend that every church have massive 20, 30 minutes of intercession during the service. Yes, that will extend your service to at least an hour, 45 minutes. That's good, because you may begin to see answers right in the sanctuary, as it should be. Isn't that what it's all about anyway? Ask and you will receive. That's why we pray. That's why we ask. That's why the parable of the story of the man that went to bed with his family, and the man had a friend came by at night, and that man got up and came over and knocked on the door of the house, the guy that had everything. And he's like, go away, we're in bed, everything's shut down here. Again, that teaching, striking at the very concept that God can't be bothered. That here is the principle Jesus gives there, shameless persistence, and he gets as much as he needs. Now, that's the example Jesus gives concerning the answers that are going to come. I'm praying because I want answers. I'm praying and I'm believing God, and that's what we're going to do in the salvation and healing and deliverance and advance of the church, the power of God, revivals. Some of the greatest things are yet to be done. Some of the greatest revivals, tens of millions in our nation, hundreds of millions worldwide yet to get saved. Major, major advances in the power of God in the context of the church and mission. Now, that includes what we pray against, and that's why I'm saying become fierce in your prayers. I've shared this many times. There's a story of the wicked queen that was in literally in opposition of the real body of Christ. And John Knox was a great prayer warrior also and was a reformer, advancing the cause of Christ. And part of what occurred, you know what occurred? The statement is that wicked queen, that wicked political individual, feared the prayers of John Knox more than an invading army. Look at Pharaoh and what occurred there. Look at King Herod in the book of Acts. So I'm going to tell you right now that most all kind of praying that we normally talk about is praying for something, praying for getting people saved and healed and delivered and revival and help and God's power and giftings and more laborers and all the rest. And then there's your personal life and what you're praying for and individuals. But there's also praying against satanic powers and rituals as we've never seen before, more of that going on. So what about abortion? What about the drug scourge that's destroying tens of thousands of lives? Now, individually, I've got this listed in the workbook as a prayer list. It's what we do. We target satanic ritual abuse and pray against that. We target and pray against the dark powers operative. We pray against counterfeits and so forth. We pray against the drug scourge, and we pray against the drug lords and the drug sellers and pimps and so forth. We pray against human trafficking and pedophile groups. so that we take a stand in asking God. Now, we also go out, of course, and engage all of this, but we can only do so much, a few people. Now, when there's millions boots on the ground, which we'll talk about here in the big training book, the Book of Acts that we're doing, and all I can tell you is, you know, 100 believers that are crippled, grieving the Spirit, suppressed, quiet, and really not doing anything, and not experiencing much, there's really, I mean, first of all, there's, you know, they're missing the incredible joy. They're missing neglecting this so great a salvation, but they're also missing what the mission and what it could be a part of and what they can do. See, I happen to believe individual believers can lead hundreds to Christ, can see healings happen right in front of them, can see miracles and signs and wonders and pray those in, can also stand outraged against radical evil. Are you outraged about the slaughter of babies? Are you outraged about human trafficking? Are you outraged about the drug scourge that's growing like crazy still and killing thousands? And the underground satanic stuff and all of that. Corruption in political and other areas and places of authority. So I believe the body of Christ, with this massive power of prayer, guided by the Spirit of God, just like Old Testament, I believe that we're able to pray against that. That we can stand in opposition to radical evil, that we can stand in opposition specifically against the abortion, the drugs, the satanic, the dark powers, the ritual abuse, and the trafficking, and all of that. And I think that's important for us to consider. I think political parties and nations, and again, depending on your nation, some nations, if you begin to pray against what they're doing, the corruption and the anti-God, anti-Christ, you know, when you see a nation going that way, so it depends on where you live, whether it's China, whether it's Russia, whether it's United States, Venezuela, Britain, Europe, and many believers now today, you're feeling the end of days all around us. Well, the first thing we should think about is not shutting down, not being, you know, concerned of how it's going to affect us. The darker it is, the brighter you can shine. The darker and more corrupt it is, the greater possibilities of major exploits. Look at Daniel chapter 11. The people that know their God will do, in the end days, will do great exploits. I believe that's in prayer. I believe that's in evangelism. I believe that's in seeing lives. Think in terms of the millions and tens of millions, drugs and alcohol and abuse and all the things that have been going on for decades, the ruined lives, the hurt lives. Who holds the power to save? Who holds the power to heal broken hearts, broken lives, to release the captives, to open the eyes of the blind? That's Jesus. That's the ministry we have. That's the incredible activities that can occur in prayer as we, again, on the one hand, pray for and the advance of what God is doing and what God will accomplish. That's why we have this. Then also becoming fierce and fearless and outraged to the point that we pray strong and hard, asking God, stretch out your hands to bring down the drug lords. Stretch out your hands to bring down the pedophile leaders and the human traffickers and the satanic covens and those powers there. Bring down the corruption. Stand in opposition to radical evil is very important for us. And I think very important in the context of prayer. I think that we can see what God did in the Old Testament as Moses was praying for the advance of Israel and a demonized nation, a nation that would have done human sacrifice possibly, to invoke demon gods of war to beat Israel. But as long as the intercession was going, God not only advanced Israel, but he advanced them over and against the demonized nation that obviously subjected lives and destroyed lives by its darkness. So as darkness increases, if you listen to me at all on the radio or anything else, biblically, no question about it, if you're out there living, you see it. And if you think in terms of decades, you've seen the unbelievable growth. Well, you know what? Here's the sad thing. With the unbelievable growth of darkness, maybe that's what's maybe that side realized to shut down, to quiet the church. You know, again, 1 Peter 5:8, we're supposed to be sober-minded, alert, because the devil, who's our enemy, is prowling around, seeking someone to devour. Well, he loves to cripple Christians. He loves to cripple the church. And if he can silence the prayers, wow. I mean, prayers in the book of Acts brought about, I mean, God caused an earthquake because of prayers, opened jail cells. God sent an angel into the prison and to release Peter. You look at the miraculous things God did, but you're going to see that it goes right back to the ground, boots on the ground, those in intercessors and prayer warriors, which you are, praying for the advance, but also praying against. Learn how to pray against. Pastors, lead your church in how to pray against. It's a right thing to do. It teaches the church as a whole clearly, weekly, constantly. In your local cities, why be silent? Why allow the drug lords and the human traffickers and the corruption and all the rest of the stuff, the abortion and everything? This should have been dealt with, you know, many years ago in a lot of ways. It should be the ongoing demonstration of the power of God in the body of Christ. So think in terms of Ephesians 3:20, connected to praying against radical evil, praying against corruption and that which destroys lives, praying against that which stands against the body of Christ, against the cause of God in Christ. And we're allowed to do that. Not only allowed to do that, I believe there's, you know, the examples, and I believe there is the sheer promises and powers of God in prayer, that's what it's all about. That's why we're here. And the miraculous could be the advancing of, and it could also be the shutting down of abortion clinics and human trafficking, getting girls out, rescuing, corruption in politics. And, you know, when revivals do come, when nationwide, if you've read the history of revivals, when regional areas or, you know, even like on the edges of nations, when revivals occur, society is impacted. Corruption is pushed back. Just, it's good. Great revivals are good for societies and nations. And again, I think that we could be weeks away, months away from great, great movements of God. Think in terms of 100,000 churches on Sunday. Now they're standing in praise and worship for 20, 30 minutes and praising God and embracing. And then all of a sudden, led by the seasoned pastors and leaders, now they're going to be praying. Now they're going to intercede. Now they're going to be praying for souls. Now they're going to pray for the lost. Now they're going to pray for the power of God on evangelism. Now they're going to pray for their entire cities and areas. Now they're going to pray for churches. Now they're going to pray God's power, God's gifting, God's working, God bring healing, God bring sign and wonder. God, and then they're praying for all that advance. Right in the middle of that, they kind of just shift. Lord God, we stand in your sight. By the authority of the Lord Jesus, now we come against what is radical evil. Spirit of God, guide us. We pray against and for the shutting down of abortion clinics and the destruction of lives. We pray against the drug traffickers and the drug lords and the spread of drugs. And we pray against the dark powers that are behind the drive for drugs and human trafficking and the rest of it. So let me just tell you this. Become strong in the grace of God to advance the cause of Christ. Be compelled by the love of Jesus to go to all individuals and lead them, compel them to come in. Stand fierce against radical evil. Stand in authority, stand with the armor of God, and pray against all radical evil. God does miracles. God stretches out his hands against even political powers that are deeply corrupt and anti-God. God stands against, and God will stretch out his hand in, I believe, against drug lords. I believe that against satanic priests and those who shed blood. So we in the body of Christ should have been taught this. And don't wait for anybody. You begin to do this. The power of prayer is not limited to praying for the advance and praying for souls. And we see mighty things done that way. We can also begin to say, God, intervene on that politician. Intervene in this area of my city. That's why it's important to know what's going on in your city. That's why it's important for leaders to connect with other leaders in many churches praying for revival. Many churches praying for souls to be saved. Many churches praying for God to visit the city big time. Many churches praying against corruption and drugs and abortion and the dark powers asking God in Christ to bring destruction to that which destroys life. That's being fierce. That's being strong. You can know the Word of God and then, again, begin to stand that way. You can grow more and more powerful, Acts 9:22, in your advancing God's cause and, again, coming against the dark side's cause. We can make massive impact because of the miracles. They're just waiting at times, I believe that. There's so much there that God can do. So I just encourage you now. And you think in terms of the largest prayer list that you've ever had. This workbook is your prayer list. It is going to become, if not already, a great familiar tool so that when you have specified the times and you've gathered, you've got yourself before the Lord, and you're unleashing all that prayer, Bible in hand, marking things down, scripture here, scripture there, answers to prayer, put it there, put it here, put it all over this book. I write all over mine. I write all over and I just mark things down, and I can remember a little better that way. And I got a lot of things to say. I got a lot of things, a lot of answers. I've been thinking about writing a book about the answers God has given over the years in a personal life, family life, extended around me, the church's life, in the context of, you know, engaging the dark side and seeing God come in to rescue lives and save them. Blessings to you in the power of the Spirit of God.